I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Los Angeles, Apostle Joel Obobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your blessing in today's service. We pray for the help of the Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord, that you will lead and guide us into all truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Please be seated. Please be seated. Today I want to continue sharing with you on the series of messages about hell. Amen. Now, I do know that hell is not the most popular subject in the church today, but the Bible does speak about hell as much as it speaks about anything else. And a good minister must be sure to talk about this all-important subject. Amen.
Amen.
Something that affects everyone, because according to the scripture, it is our eternal destination. That means every one of us will either end up in heaven or in hell. I mean, this is a fundamental belief and fundamental doctrine of Christianity. Amen. And as I always say, if we die and find out that there is no heaven or hell, that would be the easiest problem to have, because we'll simply go where everyone else is going. We'll just follow everyone else to wherever they seem to be going. If they're not going anywhere and are waiting in a place, we'll just join in the waiting room. Do you see what I'm saying? We'll just join and we'll just wait. We'll all just sit there and we'll all just be there. Right. Now, if we die and find out also that there is no us, what I mean is you die and that's the end of you, that there is no you anymore, then that's even easier, isn't it? Then there is no, that's it, then you're finished, right? The problem is if we die and find out that all these things are true. If you were to die and to find out that there is a heaven and there is a hell, and that there is a qualification to go to heaven and there's a qualification to go to hell, that's where the problem will be, that it will be too late to fix it. Hallelujah. So it's safer now to believe in heaven and hell, especially when it costs nothing to believe in heaven or hell. Hallelujah. There is no price to pay to believe in heaven or hell. It's just, you just have to believe. Amen. Okay, I can pause while they settle. Wow. Do you understand what I'm sharing so far?
Yeah.
So there is no price, there's no cost, you know. It's free to believe in heaven or hell. Hallelujah. The Bible calls it the free gift of God. It's salvation. So salvation is intended to save us from heaven, save us from going to hell. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That whosoever believes in the Son of God should not perish. That means they should not go to hell, but that they will have everlasting life. Now, we know that everlasting life is certainly not on this earth, because no one's life on this earth has lasted forever. So everlasting life can't be for here. Hallelujah. That everlasting life is referring to a life in a place beyond here. And that is after we take off this body. Then we shall go on to everlasting life. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's like your clothes as you're wearing them. There's a part of you that lasts longer than the clothes you're wearing. Isn't it? The clothes are covering a part of you that lives longer than the clothes you're wearing. So we may see you in blue today, but by tonight, the blue will go off. But the real you continues to live on beyond the clothes. That is how it is with the human spirit, soul, and body. The Bible says we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Amen. This body is just a house, is an outer covering. And the person who lives in a house is always more important than the house itself. Is it not true? When there's a fire in a house, we try to get the person out, because the person is more important than the house itself. You never go to a house because of the building. You may like how it looks, but it's the person inside who matters. And everybody has a person inside. And this body is just an outer covering that will be shed at some point and will be laid down at some point. I mean, these are teachings of the Bible that we must hear from time to time in order to be sure that we are living a balanced life. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Right. So I'm continuing today, and today my subject is, what is happening in hell? Yes. What is happening in hell? Last week I shared with you, what was last week's subject again? What the Bible teaches about hell, right? And the week before was, what happens when we die, right? So today is, what is happening in hell, right? What is happening in hell? In other words, what is going on in hell? What's going on in hell? I mean, you know, right? So the first thing, according to the scripture, you know, how to know about hell, you have to read the Bible to know what's going on in hell, right? Now, the first thing is obviously something terrible, something so terrible that it is worth giving up your arms, eyes, and legs in order to avoid going there, right? So the first thing happening in hell is something so terrible that it is worth giving up your arms, eyes, and legs in order to avoid going there. Amen. Now, Mark chapter 9 and verse 43. Mark chapter 9, and we're going to read from verse 43. Mark chapter 9 and from verse 43. It says, and if, are you bringing it? Mark 9:43. It says, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. Right? If your hand offends you, he says, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Verse 44, and if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life, that means limping into life, right, than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And then the third one says, and if thy eye offend thee, that means if what you are seeing, if you can't help but continue seeing what you are seeing, then it says, it says, pluck it out. Hey! It says, pluck out your eyes. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Listen, I'm aware that what I'm sharing with you is not your everyday kind of sermon. Do you see what I'm saying? But it is in the Bible. This is not, you're not going to hear this at your workplace, at your office, or you won't hear this anywhere except in a good church. Amen. Listen, it says, if your eye offend thee, pluck it out. So, what place is this? What must be going on in this place? You know, a few years ago, I had a friend who used to say proudly that he didn't mind going to hell because he thinks that there's going to be a big concert in hell. You know, he started to say that there's going to be a big concert in hell. He said Bob Marley and the Wailers are going to be there. And he mentioned some other artists. And so on. I was just thinking, how do you even know these people are going to be there? Do you understand? We somehow have this idea that when we go to hell, or if we were to go to hell, we would be attending a concert. But you see, sometimes I just think about how people even use the word hell. You know, when someone tells someone, I'm going to make your life hell in this place, they are not usually inviting them to a party. Wow. Is it not true? I mean, when someone tells another person that I'm going to make your life hell in this place, they don't mean that I'm going to invite you to a concert, that you're going to be jumping and dancing. You see, now, during the week, Pastor Manila, did you have that thing you sent to me?
Yeah.
You know, I just want you to watch this. It's just about a volcano. It's just a volcano. But someone sent it to me this week, and I thought I could show it to you. It's just 2 or 3 minutes of some volcanic action. Can you take out the lights, please? Maybe all of it, if you can. Yeah, take it out and show us this right now. Look at this. Now, this is not a cartoon, right? This is here on earth. I think you can see that that's a real human being. Okay, right? So just look at it. Human beings are amazing, isn't it? Yeah. These guys are really curious. And they're sending drones to try to cover this. What do you think? Do you think this is like a movie or some kind of computer gimmick? Yeah? Right. Okay, I think it's enough. Thank you. Right. Now, my whole point is this. If this can exist here on Earth, what makes it so difficult to believe that this must exist somewhere spiritually? Do you understand? You can understand a lot of spiritual things by looking at natural things, because the natural life kind of mirrors the spiritual life in many ways, that you can actually go from looking at natural things to understand how spiritual things are and how they will be. That if you can, this is like a soup of fire. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. It's actually a lake, yeah. Because it's standing, yeah, and it's boiling, yeah. And it's moving. And if this can exist, why can hell not exist except that you choose not to believe it? Do you get it? And if you choose not to believe in hell, that's okay, because everyone has a choice when it comes to what they believe or not. But you better have a basis for believing or choosing not to believe it. A basis that is stronger and firmer, other than just that it doesn't make sense to me. Because a lot of things are true which don't make sense to you. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Including even some of the problems you have. Yeah. Are you not sometimes surprised by the problems you have? That are you not sometimes surprised at the situations you come into? You can't believe it's happening. That's true, but it's happening. Do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes you're in a relationship with someone, and then you show up one day with good ideas and plans, and the person, that's the day the person is also announcing that they are through with you. You cannot believe it. You can't believe that this is the day it's finishing, and yet it's actually finishing. That's what the person is saying. So if people can say unbelievable things, and something outrageous, you can't believe he can say that, yet he's saying it. Then you shouldn't trust your thoughts, imaginations, and perceptors so much. Do you see that hasn't it ever happened to you before that you honestly believed something and found out you were wrong? Yeah. You believed something to be a certain way and found out later that you were wrong, you know. So I think that as human beings, we must be people of faith. As Christians, we must be humble and believe what the Bible says about hell. Hallelujah. And if hell is anything like this, then you would be a very wicked person to walk by someone who's on his way to this place and not say anything to them about it. When the way to get out of this place is actually free. Do you see what I'm saying? That it won't cost you anything to show them a way out of this place. I think it is the most wicked of people and the most insensitive of people who would watch someone go to such a place. Amen. Now, number two. What is happening in hell? Millions of people are bound in chains in the vast, dark, misty, and scary dungeons of the underworld. That is hell. Millions of people are bound in chains in the vast, dark, misty, scary dungeons of the underworld. That's what is happening in hell. Now, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Right? He says, if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, right? So we know that there are chains in hell. Chains of darkness in hell. That means the people in hell cannot get out. They cannot get out of that place. They are chained, you know. They are restrained and they cannot get out of that place. I mean, I think we have prisons here. Yeah. Right? Yes, we know how to, as human beings, we know how to contain other human beings. And even from what they tell me, when people go to prison, you can, within the prison, be put in prison. Yeah. They have a place called solitary confinement. That's within the prison. Yeah, that when you go into prison and you misbehave while you are in prison, then they put you in the prison of the prison. Yeah, they put you, and all these things are real. These are created by human beings. Hallelujah. These are created by human beings. And anytime you see what a human being can do, you must believe that his creator can do much more. Do you see what I'm saying? Anytime you see what a human being can do, when someone creates something that can do something, you must believe that that person can do more than what his creation can do. Hallelujah. So human beings can create a prison and put people in there. You know, I was reading on the news this morning. They said they had arrested 6,000 people in Turkey. Right? Yeah, so they had arrested 6,000 people between Friday and today. I mean, there was a coup, I think, attempt in Turkey. Was it Friday or... Yeah, Friday evening. And between Friday evening and this Sunday morning, they said they have arrested 6,000 people. And I was just thinking, where will they keep them? You see, where will they keep these 6,000 people? You see, you say the prison, but the prison must have had people in there already. Do you understand? They must have had people in there already, but they still have room to add another 6,000 people, you know, and to detain them and to keep them. So if human beings can do it, if a human being can do it, then you can also do it. Think about it. Anything your little child can do, you can do greater than that. Anything, if your little child can lift this and put it here, then you can lift this and put it here and take it and put it in another place. You can always go further than something you create. So if a human being can build a place, you know, and sort of take away the freedoms of other human beings and keep them confined to that place, you must believe that the creator of that human being can do something much worse than that. Hallelujah. Number three, what is happening in hell? I have only five things to share with you, and then we'll be done. Amen. Number three, what is happening in hell? People are burning alive in the lake of fire. People are burning alive in the lake of fire. That means they are not dying. They are not dying. They are not being extinguished. Right? The fire is not killing them, because the part of a person that goes into that fire cannot be killed by fire. Hallelujah. Right? Now, Revelation chapter 19 and verse 20. All these verses are from the Bible, isn't it? Everything is in the Bible. Right? Revelation chapter 19 and verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive. They were both cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Amen. They were both cast into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. So you can see that this lake of fire does not drown people. And the fire in it does not burn people to ashes. And that is because the part of you that goes into, you see, think about this. When a human being is buried, you know, we bury people because there's a part of a human being that can rot and go bad and decompose. That's the part we put in the ground. That's the part we put in the ground. Actually, I have another picture to show you because I found this one on CNN. I just turned on my CNN. Let me see if I can find it, because you need to see this picture. You really need to see this picture. Yes. Okay, Pastor Munene, how can I? Maybe I can send it to you. WhatsApp? All right. Are we allowed to send a WhatsApp during a sermon? Okay, then please excuse me. Give me just 1 second. I am going to send this very interesting photograph that was shared on CNN. I'm going to send it to you, and you can see it. I think you need to see it. Okay. All right. So, Pastor Munene, here you go. Okay. Now, yes. So tell me when you're ready, when you can show it to me. All right. It's our own church. We need to, you need to relax a little bit. Amen. Right. So, yes. So I'm saying that a human being, when he dies, he's buried because that's how he decomposes. But the scripture says that there is more to a human being than the body that decomposes, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. The Bible says, may the God of peace, it says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. May God sanctify you what? Wholly. Wholly means what? Entirely, isn't it? It means completely, right? And then he says, and I pray God, your whole what? Spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it means a whole human being is spirit and soul and body. Isn't it? Yeah, the whole human being. That means you cannot describe yourself or consider yourself as a body only. That your body is not you in your entirety. Isn't it? Your body is not you in your entirety. You know, just like, you know, when somebody comes to church, for example, maybe there is the person, there's their dress, and then there is also their handbag, and there is also their cell phone. All of these things together make you. Do you see what I'm saying? And if you left this place without your bag, somebody's going to call you and say, you left your bag behind. There's a piece of you that is remaining here that has to go along with you, right? So a human being, he says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, wholly, right? And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. Now, when someone dies, that person has actually experienced a loss of just 1/3 of his entire existence. Amen. This is according to the Bible. This is according to God, according to the one who makes human beings. Do you understand? He says that when a person dies, it's just your body, because it's only your body that cannot live on in this world forever. Isn't it? So your body just goes down. But there is a part of you that goes beyond that. Pastor Maria, do you have the picture now? Okay. Because, you know, this picture was posted on the CNN app on my iPad. I just went to read the news, and then I saw it. CNN was saying that there had been a motor accident, Actually, the title they gave to the photograph was, they said, ghost scene or something like that. It said something about a ghost scene somewhere, right? There was an accident. I think it was a motorcycle accident, you know, in which there was a fatality. Somebody had died. And then there is an image of something. You know, I just want you to look at the picture. Can you take out the lights, please? Just take out the light. Can you see it? Do you see what I see? What do you see? What is going up? Huh? Where is it? Where is it? I just want to be sure we are seeing the same thing. Where is it? Between the two ambulances, right? This is from CNN. This is not some picture. Can you see that these are real human beings, not a cartoon? Yeah, right. This is something that happened here. That's. This is a cop car. If you see one of these things following you when you're driving, it means you're in trouble. I mean, this is a real police car over there. That is an accident that happened. I think it was sometime last week or so, and somebody said that they had seen a ghost or something like that. Now I don't know whether it was a ghost or whatever. But I do know the Bible already says that there is more to a human being. There must be more to a human being. There must be more to a human being than their bodies. I mean, it's like somebody saying there's nothing else to you but your clothes. How is it possible? How can you even have your clothes without you? How can someone say these are your clothes without you? Who is you? And somebody died in this accident. I think it was a motorbike accident. And the person died, and somebody took this picture, and they're saying that this image right here, you see, this thing right here, was something that they felt, it was something, was the person saw something rising up. Wow. You know, and they feel that that was the soul or the spirit of the person leaving. I don't know what it is, but I do believe, because the Bible says so, not just because of this picture, but because the Bible says a human being has more composition than just the body in which they live. Can I have an amen? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Do you like that picture? I can give it to you after the service if you ask me nicely. Amen. Right. So what is happening in hell? What is happening in hell, right? People are burning alive in the lake of fire. That there is a part of a person, he's left behind, but he still exists. Just like you can leave your clothes behind, but you still exist, right? If you drop your sweater here, you can still move on, isn't it? You can still move on. If you drop your clothes here, you can still move on, you know? Sometimes when I'm going through the airport, it's very interesting how you arrive at the airport dressed up. Oh, they finally woke up. You have to allow the newlyweds, you know. Come and sit down, please. Wow. Right. Yeah. We're talking about something really interesting. Hell. Right. Okay. What was I saying? Yes. Sometimes when I'm going through the airport, you know, and you arrive at the airport at the security point, you arrive there all dressed up and everything, right? Then they ask you to strip off the other things that define you. Do you see what I'm saying? That you arrive at the airport, you arrive at the security point, you arrive at the machine, you are described as the man in the blue jacket. But at the point where you are entering that security machine, you are no longer the man in the blue jacket. The blue jacket has to come off, but you still exist. You don't go off with your jacket. The jacket comes off. But the real you is the one that goes through the machine. There is a real you that is wearing the jacket. But for purposes of easy description, we describe you, you know, according to the color of your outer covering, which is your jacket. So you are then the man in the blue jacket or the lady in the red jacket. That's who you are until you have to go through the machine. When you're going through the machine, you are no longer in that red or blue jacket. You just come off. You take those things off, and there's a part of you that goes through that machine. That is how it is when people die. When they die, they shed off this outer covering. This body cannot go. This body was given us for this earth. Amen. Yeah. This body was given us because we're coming to this place. It's not meant to go outside this world. Yeah. It's not meant. And that is why even evil spirits, when they have to operate in this world, they have to enter a person. Wow. Because an evil spirit needs a body for expression. Wow. And to operate on this earth, you need to be dressed properly. And the proper dressing for this earth is to have flesh and blood like this. You have to live in a body like this to be here, right? You know, sometimes when you go on tourism and you go to visit certain places, sometimes they give you special goggles to wear and special jackets to wear because of what you're about to see. Do you see that you cannot go in there like this? So you are given some special clothing to go there. But when you are leaving that place, you can't bring those things with you. You have to leave them behind because they are just for that place. Hallelujah. I think you understand what I'm saying. I can't over-explain this. I'm sure you understand what I'm sharing with you. Amen. Right. So number four, what is happening in hell? What is happening in hell? Hell is receiving new admissions every day. But it does not seem to be getting full. So that is the fourth thing that is happening in hell. Hell is receiving new admissions every day, but does not seem to be getting full. Right? Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 20. He says, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. He said, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. It's just making a comparison. It says, just the way hell is never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Right? But since you're a man, why don't you take it the other way? Just like the eyes of man are never satisfied, right? So hell is also never full, right? Now, is it not true that the eyes of man are never satisfied? Yes? We are never satisfied. We are never, and we even extend it to places we shouldn't be extending it to. Isn't it? We should be satisfied at some point, but we just never get satisfied. We're making new things. I mean, you see somebody who's saying they don't have clothes to wear. Their problem is where to put the clothes. They already have enough clothes. Recently, I heard a lady, she said she has a whole hallway full of shoes. You know, there's a hallway full of shoes. It's like when she gets ready to go out, she comes to the hallway and it's lined up with shoes, like from here to here. But I guess you know it's not the end of shoe shopping for her. Yeah. It's not the end of shoe shopping for her. We're just never satisfied. We're never satisfied. Never satisfied. When you give someone what they are asking for, they just raise the bar and start looking for something else. It always takes a bit more than what we had previously to satisfy us. And just when you think someone is satisfied, you have just created the need for the next thing. When you give them the last thing they ask for. People are never satisfied. The eyes of human beings are never satisfied. We always want to see. We always want to look. Isn't it? Never satisfied. And the Bible says the way our eyes are, that's how hell is. Hell is never satisfied. More people are getting admitted into hell every day. And then the last one. Number five. What is happening in hell? There are huge expansion projects taking place in hell. Hell is expanding. That is the next thing that is happening in hell. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 14. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 14. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 14. It says, therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Hell hath enlarged itself. Hell hath enlarged itself. Hell hath enlarged itself. That the way it's going, hell has enlarged itself and is receiving to accommodate the numbers of people that are coming into it. Hallelujah. A lot of people will end up in hell if we do not share the message of the gospel with them. Amen. A lot of people will wind up going to hell if we do not tell them the message of the gospel, if we do not tell them the provision that God has made, that you do not have to go to hell, that Jesus died for you so that you will not have to go to hell. Right? That must be the meaning of John 3:16. Can you put John 3:16 up, please? John chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, for God so loved the world, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. God loves people. God loves you. God loves your relatives. God loves your friends. God loves your colleagues at work. God loves the people who live in your neighborhood. He loves them, and it's not just a casual positive feeling towards them, but God loves them so much that he paid the highest price. He gave his only begotten Son so that if anyone would just believe in him, they should not perish. They should not perish. Now, you don't have to understand what the perishing means. All you have to do is to look at the price that is being paid to avoid perishing. Do you see? The price that is being paid to avoid perishing gives a hint about the seriousness of perishing, even if you don't understand perishing. You see, once someone gave me a pen. It was a pen as a gift. And when he gave it to me, I took it. I said, thank you. And I took it home and I put it somewhere, because I was just thinking, it's just a pen. Now, one day I happened to be going through the airport myself, and while I was waiting for my flight, I casually went into one of these airport shops and saw an identical pen. Wow. You know, so when I saw it, I thought, oh wow, this is the pen this fellow gave to me. So I walked up to the pen and I was just looking at it just to check out, you know, the price. When I saw the price of the pen, you know, as soon as I came home, I began to look at that pen. I went to look for my pen and I began to treat it differently, you know, and I still have it. I still have it. Yeah. Because you see, sometimes the price that is paid for the thing makes you look at it again, because it looks to you like a very ordinary something. But when you look at the price, it makes you take a second look at it, that perhaps it's not just shining. There may be some diamonds in there somewhere. There may be something in there. There must be a reason. People, things don't cost or are not sold for a very high price for nothing. There must be a reason. Do you see what I'm saying? There must be a reason that there is a price. There must be a price. It must be very expensive. So look at the price. It cost him his only begotten Son. His own. You ask the people who have multiple kids. Let's ask Hazel, where is she? Yeah, she has two girls. That means she has a daughter and a spare. Right? Now you ask her if she's prepared to give you one of those. Just go to her after church and just say to her, listen, Hazel, you are blessed. You have two for the price of one. Okay? Why don't you give me one of these girls? You'll still be fine. You still have a daughter. You know, you still have, and then let me just have one. Like, any, you go ask her after church, okay? Just ask her, oh, Hazel, you know, as you know, I don't have a kid. You have two. It's not fair. Why don't you give me one? Yeah, and then just ask. Or even better, you should go to LPAC. She has three. Same gender. So she can, one with two spares. Yeah. So she can afford to give you one. Just go to her and say to her, you know, I mean, can you just give me one of your girls, just one, and you keep two? You're still good. Just keep two. You see, and you, she will not give you, but God gave his only begotten son. God gave his only begotten son, and he did it for a reason. He says, so that anyone who believes in him should not perish. Should not perish. Ladies and gentlemen, the price tells me that what it was paid to avoid must be serious and must be real. The price that was paid is a hint. It's God's way of telling us that what the price was paid to avoid is a serious thing. Hallelujah. Don't joke with heaven. Don't joke with hell. Don't joke with heaven. Don't joke with hell. Don't fool around until the opportunity to be saved no longer exists. Most opportunities are not recognized until they are gone. You never even realize that you were in a day of opportunity until the opportunity doesn't exist anymore. And so I pray for you that you get yourself ready. Amen. Get yourself ready. Most of us expect to live for a very long time and to have more time to decide if we want to go to heaven or not. But the truth is that not everyone gets to live to be 70 or 80. That is the truth. When it's time for leaves to fall off a tree, they are not always brown. Green leaves also fall off the trees. Young people die and old people die. And especially the times in which we live, dangerous, perilous times, the Bible calls it. Old people die and young people die. 2 days ago, was it 2 days ago or yesterday, we woke up to the news of, you know, a friend of mine, a good musician, that he had just passed, you know. And I was just thinking that it looks like there's no, you know, the book of Job says that death has no order. There's nothing like first come, first to go. There's nothing like that when it comes to death. There's nothing like first to come, first to leave. Sometimes first to come is last to leave. There is no order. Everybody dies. If you go to the mortuary, you're going to find people of all kinds, people of every race, people of every age, people of every educational background. Just people die. And there is no telling. Nobody knows when anyone will go. And so my message to you this morning is to prepare to meet your God. You know, that memory verse we had this morning, can you put it up one more time? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, isn't it? That how many people? Everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. It says we must all pass through it. Wow. Hallelujah. There is nobody at the other side of the airport who skips going through the security. Everybody must go through it. Everybody must go through a body scan to be able to go to the other side. And the Bible says, we all must appear. We must appear. Have you received one of those notices before? You must appear. You must appear means it's not optional. There are many appointments that you can choose to postpone. But the appointment to meet the Lord, we cannot get out of it. It says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. That means that, you see, everyone may receive the things done in his body while he was living in his body. Right? According to what he has done, whether it is good or bad. Whether it is good or bad. Whether it is good or bad. Everyone is going to give account someday. Whether it is good or bad. So we need to watch what we do. Because, and this is it. This is where the decision will appear. It says, the judgment seat of Christ. When people go to a court after judgment, you are either acquitted to go into life, or that is the end of your freedom. Do you see what I'm saying? But after the judgment, then there is an issue. Amen. I pray that when you are judged, God will find you worthy of going into everlasting life. God will find you worthy of going into heaven. God will find you worthy of going into everlasting life. Hallelujah. I pray that you believe the things that God has graciously allowed us to hear while we have the opportunity. Hallelujah. Because these things are real. This is the Bible. This is the Word of God. And that's what it says about life. Amen. Some people don't believe in God. Some people sometimes find it hard to believe these things. Sometimes when you have questions on your mind that you cannot answer, you think that the alternative to that is just to give up on believing in God. Sometimes people look at all the things happening in the world today and they say, how can there be a God? How can there be a God when there's so much evil around, when there's so much pain? That God doesn't exist just because there's pain somewhere. It's like saying that the police doesn't exist because there's a bad neighborhood somewhere. How can you say that? I mean, how can there be a police? Is there anything like police? There is no police. Why? Because of the bad neighborhood down there. Because there's a high crime area somewhere. So the police doesn't exist. The police does exist very much. And the bad crime area also exists. Amen. God exists. And one day you and I are going to have no doubt at all that God exists. But now we need to connect to him in faith. Now we need to believe by faith. We need to connect to God by faith. And we need to receive the provision he has made for us, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Stand to your feet as we pray this morning. As we pray this morning. Today is a good day. Today is a good opportunity to prepare to meet your God. We are all individuals. We may be born into the same family. We may be going through life as friends, but we're still individuals. Even when people are born as twins like that, they're still individuals. They're still individuals. And so as you stand before God today, you have to remember that you are still an individual. The Bible says we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give account of ourselves, not for the whole family, just for you. You. You may have been following friends, following cousins, following brothers, following sisters, following groups of people to do things, but you're going to account for yourself. And if God was to call you today to give that account, are you ready? But you can be ready today. If God was to invite you to account, to begin accounting for your life today, would you be ready to meet Him? Would you be ready to meet Him? Today is a day of opportunity for you. Today is a day of opportunity for you. And I want you to take that opportunity. Right now, while every eye is closed, we're just about to close. Just while every eye is closed, I want you to say a prayer for yourself. I want you to say a prayer for yourself. I want to give you that opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ, to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. He said that whosoever believes in him, that anyone who believes in him, and that includes you, should not perish but have everlasting life. The way to avoid hell is to believe in Jesus Christ, to believe that he died for you, to believe that he came to give his life so that you wouldn't have to pay with your own life. That is the way to enter into everlasting life. And I want to give you that opportunity this afternoon. So if you're here this afternoon and any of what I'm sharing today makes sense to you and resonates with you and it sounds like something you'd like to do in your heart, then while every eye is closed and every head is bowed this afternoon, I want you to slip up your right hand quietly because I want to see it and pray for you. I just want you to identify yourself and say, Lord, I am here. I want to give my life to Jesus. I recognize that I'm a sinner, that the way I am and the way I find myself, if I die today, I'm not sure if I'll make it to heaven, but I want to make it to heaven. So if you're here like that, raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Just pray. I'll pray with you. Is there anybody here like that today? God bless you. I see your hand. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Remember, you were born alone. And the day you will die alone, most likely. Most likely, we're talking about your eternal destiny. We're talking about what will happen to you when you die. This is not a communal decision. This is an individual decision. Just raise up your right hand if you saying, Pastor, pray with me because I want to be sure that when I die, I'll go to heaven. God bless you. Right. Why don't we all just say this prayer together? I want, if your hand is up, just keep it up and say this prayer with me. And I want everybody else to join us as we say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I thank you for dying for me.
I thank you for dying for me.
I believe with my heart.
I believe with my heart.
That you are Lord.
That you are Lord.
And I confess with my mouth.
And I confess with my mouth.
That Jesus came to die for my sins.
That Jesus came to die for my sins.
That the only way I can make it to heaven.
That the only way I can make it to heaven.
Is to receive Jesus. As my Lord and Savior.
As my Lord and Savior.
So come into my heart.
So come into my heart.
Forgive my sins.
Forgive my sins.
Cleanse me from sin.
Cleanse me from sin.
Let the blood of Jesus,
wash me
and cleanse me
and
make me a child of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I believe I'm saved
because you are Lord over my life.
I'm washed by the blood of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now let me pray for you. Father, you know the hearts of all men. You know everyone who prayed this prayer with meaning. I pray, Lord, that you will forgive them and wash them. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse them and save them, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will establish them in Christ, that they will never fall away,
let the temptations of this world not take over their hearts, but may their hearts belong to you until you come for them. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.